Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Omid Aleph. During our last Shiur, we learned a Mishnah that featured halachos regarding kilayim of plants, the prohibition of growing different varieties of vegetation together. The Mishnah mentioned something about an aruga, a plot that measures 6 by 6 handbreadths, 6 by 6 tfochim. One could conceivably plant 5 different varieties in such a plot of land. We continue with that topic here. Omar Rav Asi, aruga toicha vov chutz migvuleha. The reference to the aruga that we saw in the Mishnah, that was 6 tfachim, this 6 tfachim number or size is a number exclusionary, excluding the borders. The border of an aruga would be an additional tefach. Tanya nami hachi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Aruga toicha shisha. The interior or the measure of an aruga is 6 tfachim. Gvuleha bekamo. What is the size of the borders of this plot? Answer, kidisnan, as is taught in the following source. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, roichav kimloi roichav parsa. The width of the border of the aruga is equivalent to the width of a foot, of a person's parsa is a foot. Omar Rabbi Zera, v'itema Rabbi Chanino bar Papa. Rabbi Zera, and some say in the name of Rabbi Chanino, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vishkisa braglucha kigan hayerek. Ma regel tefach. The Pasuk that was cited is that you will shkisa to water your land like a vegetable garden. So we see in this Pasuk a reference to a regel, a foot. Ma regel tefach, just like a foot is a handbreadth in width. Af gvul nami tefach. So too, the border is also going to be a tefach. The idea here is that when you're watering the garden, you walk around the patch of land that has the plants growing in it. So you're walking around it on its border. Its border, hence, is the equivalent of the width of one's foot. Before we continue in the Gemara, we want to glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, and mivneh, structural note, combined into one entry. You'll notice a double underline is featured, and we have numbers 1 and 2. If you notice your Gemara text, you notice Rav is marked with a double underline, and on Omid Beis, Shmuel is marked off thusly as well. 5 lines from the top of Omid Beis, and also he receives a number 2. Our introduction on the side continues. We featured Rav and Shmuel, and we note Shnei Deos. They represent 2 opinions, Eich Lahamid Mishnosenu, how to set up the case of the Mishnah, Daruga Toicha Shisha Nitan Zra Bo Heiminim, that the plot described in the Mishnah measuring 6 by 6 tfachim, one could plant within that area 5 different varieties and not be in violation of the rules of kilayim. And as we mentioned in our previous year, and it's worth emphasizing, kilayim is the point of kilayim is to create a heker, a recognition that plants are planted in a non-intermingled fashion, so that conceivably you could have two plants next to each other, but if you have a wall between them, so even though they're proximity-wise very close to each other, the wall between them indicates that they are planted separately, not intermingled, so that the foundation, the ikur of kilayim, is the creation or the of an impression of separateness. So that we Rav says that the case of the aruga, whereby you can have five varieties of plants planted in within an area of six tfochim, as we learned during our previous year, this is an isolated aruga. It's called aruga b'churba. Churba means, in this case, an isolated, where there's no other plants in the immediate vicinity. There are another plots around it. Shmuel, we will see, the number two opinion says, aruga bein arugos, that the aruga is actually one aruga that could, in fact, be surrounded by other arugos. The aruga, again, is a plot, a square plot of ground measuring 6 by 6 tfachim. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav, aruga b'churba shaninu. The aruga taught in the Mishnah is an aruga in isolation, whereby there are no other arugos around it. The Gemara asks, Vo'ika mokoim kronos. Now we glance at the Rashi, and actually before we even go on in the Rashi, we should note that we have a marking that we ought to have to account for, the triangle. These represent kushios al rav, and we have that in our under our mivne heading in the margin. So you see a triangle here, and at the bottom line another one. And the gist of this of the questions is, why does Rav feel compelled to set up the Mishnah in so far in a case of an aruga b'churba, which obviously the Rav's goal is to explain how we have this aruga set up and there's no intermingling. Rav thereby communicating the sentiment or the feeling or the opinion that if you would have the aruga surrounded by other arugos, so there would be a problem of intermingling, of kilayim. The Gemara's question, why, what compels Rav to set it up that way? And the Gemara here is actually very, very terse, but with the help of Rashi, we will gain a full understanding of the Gemara's question. So the Gemara asked, Vo'ika mokum kronos. We look at the Rashi. You'll notice in the Rashi a rather elaborate diagram. So Rashi, just above that, Vo'ika mokum kronos, my ducha ke, what compelled Rav, the lo l'uk mei, ba'aruga bein arugos, mukefes mikol tzad, gimel arugos, shehein shmoina kazeh. What forced Rav to talk about an isolated aruga, not set up the case like this diagram indicates. V'lizroa be'emtza, v'chein be'kulon, and you could plant the middle patch and all the surrounding patches, hamisha zaronim, five different varieties in each patch. V'yika b'chol aruga mokom kronos, which are zaviosel, each patch has its corner. Vata yochol lahamshich zera garin shetizra b'tzad gvulon shel zu l'tzafon v'shel zu l'dorom shel zu l'mizroch v'shel zu l'marov. You can start planting, as you can see in the diagram. You start planting in the corner, and then a particular variety, a particular type of plant, and starting in the corner and drawing it in whatever direction is in question. You can see, you could start in the northeastern corner and keep planting part of the way along the northern border. You can start in the northwestern corner and then start planting southwards along the western edge, etc. The Rashi continues, V'lizro oison garinim eitzel hakronos. The einot sorach lahamshichon mikineged oison shebechaveiro mibefnim, and as you draw them down, you are drawing them down in such a way that they are not opposite, they're not in a parallel row opposite another variety in the neighboring aruga. Elohefrish tefach, and rather there will be a border of a tefach. What compelled Rav to speak about the isolated aruga? You could set up a system like this Rashi diagram illustrates, and as you look at each plot, you notice that each plant is planted in its own direction, and it's not intermingling with the neighboring plant in the neighboring plot. And we would have a kosher planting setup without having an isolated aruga scenario. The Gemara answers, Amri beRav mishmei deRav bimamale es hakronos. Rav understood the Mishnah when it spoke about the aruga as an aruga whose corners, literally here it says corners were filled, but it means that the entire side was filled up or was planted, the entire side of the aruga was planted, not like the picture in the Rashi. So that if you would have the entire side or edge of each aruga planted, and then you would have a neighboring aruga, the adjacent aruga, also with a different variety plant along parallel to that side, you would have an intermingling problem. We will look at Rashi to appreciate this a little more. Bimemale es hakronos, Rav Muki Masnisin, Bimemale es kol huruach shel aruga, latzafon min hamizroch lemarov. Rav understands the Mishnah that the entire northern side from east to west of the aruga is planted, the chen ruach dromi, and likewise the Durom, the southern edge is completely planted. Avol. Ha Mizrochi v'Marovi Zorem Me'at V'Yaniach Hefrish Mikan U'Mikan. If you look at the diagram that you see in the Rashi, he is illustrating that you have the entire northern side is planted and the entire southern side is planted, and as far as the east and the west, you have one plant of a different variety, of course, in the middle, and so that you would get the northern side and the southern side represent two different varieties, and the singular plant on the eastern and western side, another two, for a total of four and one in the middle of five varieties. And Rashi continues and says, V'yanich hefrish mikan u'mikan hilkoch I ato yochol lizra od ba'aruga she'etzlo l'psofon v'she'etzlo l'dorom. You therefore won't be able, since you filled up the entire northern side and the entire southern side with a particular variety, two different varieties, you can't have a parallel or a neighboring aruga with a different variety. That would constitute there's too little a gap between the two arugos to justify that. We've mentioned in the past, maybe a bit briefly, but a plant needs to have a tefach and a half around it for its own yanika. Therefore, if you have two different varieties, you'd have to have a separation of three tefachim to allow proximity. So the Gemara now continues, and the Gemara is relentless. It says, okay, I see that Rav set up the case of the aruga where the entire northern and entire southern side is planted, but nevertheless, could we not still imagine some element of neighboring arugos? And the question once again is, why does Rav set it up as aruga v'churba? So the Gemara asks, v'lizra me'ivroi, v'lo limli mi'gavoi. There is a Rashi and the Bach that in the Ois Aleph that has a description of what is being suggested. So we look at Rashi at the bottom, three lines from the bottom. V'lizra me'ivroi. Ivroi means one from the outside. V'yatkifena arugos mikol tzad. Have the aruga planted from the aruga in the Mishnah surrounded on all sides, the es hakronos shebesocha lo yemalei, and the chronos of the surrounding arugos. The chronos, that means the corners of the surrounding arugos, don't fill in with plants. And there is a, you can see the illustration in the Bach, that's on the lower part of the daf. There's an aleph, the first of the Bach illustrations. You notice the central aruga, where the entire tzafon and entire dorom are planted, and the surrounding arugos are planted without having plants in the corners of them. So that, once again, the question is, umay ducha ke derav, Rashi says, l'ukme baruga shebechurba she'ein shom Elohi. What was compelling Rav to set up the aruga of the Mishnah as an aruga in total isolation? We continue at the top of Omid Beis with the answer. Rav doesn't want to set up the aruga like we just described. Gezeira shemo yemale es hakronos. We're fearful that he will fill in the corners of those surrounding arugos. And if he fills them in, so the fear is that they're too close at that point to the central aruga, whose entire north and southern side was planted. So that at the corners there would be this closeness, this too close for comfort point, namely it's an usser distance, a forbidden, it's too little distance, and hence it would be forbidden. So we're not going to allow him to set up something like we saw in the Bach diagram, Ois Aleph, the Aleph diagram, in fear of his planting the entire side of those surrounding arugos. The Gemara asks, even if he were to plant in the entire side, still it should be allowed. Velo yehe elo roish tur yerek. Is it no different than the case of roish tur? Literally, a roish tur is the head of an ox. If you have a good imagination, if you were to look at the head of an ox from an aerial perspective, looking top down from above the ox, you would notice that from its head till its snout it tapers, so it comes to an angle. You can imagine simply a triangle where the tip of the triangle is the tip of its snout. That's why the term Rosh Tur is used as a figurative form of description. So the Gemara asks, at the point of contact in the diagram that we made reference to before in the Bach Ois Aleph, in the worst case scenario, let us say that he did fill in the sides of the surrounding arugos. What would the point of contact be between the surrounding arugos and the central aruga that we said was a problem? The point of contact is basically a singular point of two angles touching each other at their point. That kind of contact isn't a kilayim problem. Milo Tana, the Gemara continues on the second line from the top. Has it not been taught in the following source? Hoya Rosh Tur Yerek Nichnas L'Soich Soda Acher Muter. We're talking about two different varieties right now. So that you have a Rosh Tur, you would have a plot of land planted in an angular fashion of one variety, and the angle is running into another field, so that the tip of this angular planted variety is touching a field planted with a different variety. It is mutter, mitnei shenire soif sodeh, because it gives the impression of being the end of one field and the beginning of another. In other words, it's a clear point of demarcation where the angle comes to a tip. So it's clear that it's a separate field. And as we said, the yesod, the principle of kilayim, is one of recognition. So it does not appear to be intermingled. Rav answers why we can't rely on Rosh Tur in our case. Rav's opinion is Ein Rosh Tur Baruga. When you're dealing with these very small plots of land, 6 by 6 handbreadths, the leniency of Rosh Tur, where you're allowing one variety in effect touching the other variety, this leniency cannot be allowed. The concept of Rosh Tur will apply, let us say, between two fields, where one field is planted in a strict north-south fashion, and another field with a different variety is next to it, but entering it at an angle. So the point of contact is simply the tip of that angle. Then, since you're dealing with two complete fields, we can make an allowance, but not in the case of arugos, these small plots. So after all is said and done, we understand Rav's opinion of aruga b'churba, why he understood the Mishnah of the aruga, the plot of land, 6x6 tefachim, with five different varieties planted in it, the way we described it in our previous shiur. It has to be an aruga in isolation without any other arugos surrounding it. Continuing in the Gemara, Shmuel Omar, here we have a differing opinion, and that of Shmuel, Arugo Bain Ho Arugos Shoninu. Tosfos in Dibra Maschil, Shmuel Omar, Tosfos says, he, Shmuel, is of the opinion of there is Rosh Tur Baruga. So Shmuel speaks about the Mishnah's Aruga as not an Aruga in isolation, but as we described already, in the using the illustration we saw in the Bach on Omid Aleph, the arugos surrounding the central aruga, and he is not fearful even if you planted the entire sides of those surrounding arugos. The point of contact between them and the central aruga would be at a point, at a tip, where two angles are coming together. And that's, as Tosis explains, Shmuel is of the opinion, Yesh Rosh Tur Baruga. The Gemara asks, V'ha ka misarvi behadadi. This is a new consideration, and that is, fine, the plants themselves are planted in such a way where they come together at an angle. That's at the stalk level, or at the base of the plant. But when you plants have leaves and they branch out, and that means above ground level there is intermingling of the leaves, and that does create a kilayim problem. Once again, kilayim is a function of how things appear, and when you look at these plots of land, it appears that they're intermingled because of the leafy the leaves above ground that intermingle. So the Gemara answers for Shmuel, Benoite Shura Lekan Vishura Lekan. Rashi explains, Benoite Shura Lekan Vishura Lekan, Mamshich Shel Ruach Zu Betzad Keren Mizrachit Svoinis, Vishel Ruach Zu Letzad Mizrachit Droimis, Vichain Kulon Laharchikon. That means he bends the leaves of each corner in the opposite direction of the leaves of the different variety of the neighboring corner. Shelo yu, Rashi says, Shelo yu ze keneged ze, kemoshe pirashnu gabi atakafta diliel, demokum kronos. Velo gozar Shmuel shemo yamale es hakronos, and Shmuel does not make the gzera, while he might fill up the kronos. The Gemara continues. Omar Ula, Bo'u b'marava. Ula tells us that the question was raised in Eretz Yisrael. Once again, we're now focusing on an aruga, 6x6 tefachim, with five different varieties of plants planted within the 6x6 tefach area. The question was raised in Eretz Yisrael. Hifkia telem echod al penei kula mahu. To appreciate this, we'll glance at Rashi. Hifkia, Rashi says on the third line under the Gemara text, is Loshen Kriya. It's a Loshen of tearing. What do we mean tearing? We're talking about plants in a plot of ground. But it means Shekorea Akarka. He tears the ground. What does that mean? It's a type of image, speech of full of imagery, but in this case, he planted a row of plants across the middle, right through the middle of our aruga. as far as the Mishnah was concerned, we had the borders of the aruga planted, and in the middle, smack in the middle, bullseye, so to speak, a fifth variety. In the question that's raised, what happens if he plants a strip of plants right across the middle? Does that ruin the status of the aruga? Rashi says, on the fifth line under the Gemara, Al Pnei Kula, She'evir Mizera Shebetzafon Lezera Shebedaron Derech Emtsoi Vizaroi Me'echon Aminim. He chose one of the varieties that are already there in the aruga, Mimin Shishi, or a sixth variety, and planted it straight across the middle of the aruga. Mahu, mi mevatel toras shura halchis aruga, does the toras shura, the law or the phenomenon of this row, obliterate the leniency that we've explained regarding the aruga, b'shvil telem echad olo? In other words, does the singular row pose a threat, pose an undoing of the leniency that we've explained already regarding the aruga? The Gemara answers, Omer Rav Sheshes, Bo Yerbuv Ubitel Es Hashura. Rav Sheshes is strict in his ruling and says that the row creates confusion, creates intermingling, and thereby undoes the rule of the aruga, the allowance of the aruga. The word shura in the Gemara, when it says bitel shura, it's a reference to the aruga. Rav Asi Omar, ein eruvo mevatel es hashura. The intermingling of this row does not undo the aruga. There's a girsa on the side which reads by the star, where Rav Asi says, ein eruvo mevatel es hashura, ubitel hashura es haruga. So we don't say that the row going across the middle of the aruga, according to Rav Asi, we don't say that it undoes the aruga. Esve, Ravina, the Ravashi. Ravina poses a question, which is a kasha on shitas Rav Asi. The following source, Hanotea shtei shuros shel kishuin, one who plants rows and rows of vegetation, different kinds, two rows of kishuin, shtei shuros shel diluin, shtei shuros shel pul hamitzri, three different types of vegetation, two rows of each. Mutter, that is okay. It's allowed. There is no problem of kilayim. And we should point out, as Rashi reminds us, that here we're not talking about an aruga, we're talking about a large field. But it's planted in such a way that two rows of one variety and two rows of another variety, and that's okay, because two rows are considered a field in and of themselves. And as Rashi says, v'havi hekera, and it's something noticeable, it's clear, each min, each variety, by itself. The source goes on and says, shura achas shel kishuin, v'shura achas shel diluin, v'shura achas shel pula mitzri osir. But when you have one row of kishuin and one row of diluin and one row of pula mitzri, planted in a consecutive fashion, that is forbidden. And why is that? Because one row creates, it doesn't have the status of a field, and therefore what you're left with is, in effect, intermingling. So the rule we're expected to extract from this is that one row creates a problem of intermingling. You'll notice that we've dashed, underlined the expression achas and osir. This is the essence of the question raised against Rav Asi. Rav Asi answers, Shaini hocha, di'ika saracha. The case here in this source is different, because when you have a situation of row after row of different varieties planted consecutively, so you'll have intermingling of the sarocha, the branches of the plants intermingle. And we made reference to this before, and since there's, as Rashi says, the mekoymos harbe, there's a lot of intermingling taking place, that is what creates the problem. However, in the case of the aruga, so it's not as pronounced, it's not as confused or intermingled as this case. Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Haroitza Lamalois Kol Vinoso Yerek. If a person wants to fill his entire garden with different kinds of vegetables, and he doesn't, in a kosher way, of course, without violating the rules of Kilayim, Oise Aruga Shisha Al Shisha, he designates a plot measuring 6 by 6 tfachim, the Oigel Bo Chamisha, and then he plants in a circular fashion, the circle having a diameter of 5 tochim. He will plant one variety in a circular fashion, and then the corners, remember we're talking about this is an inscribed circle of diameter 5 within a plot, a square plot of land measuring 6 by 6. Umemale kronoseho kol mashiyirtze, and the corners he can fill in with whatever he wants. And then, being that the central part is planted in a circular fashion, there is no need to distance it from the corners that are planted with different varieties, because each corner, the circular interior of this is clearly something different as the direction of the planting indicates, as the form created by the plants indicates. The circular form is clearly something different than that which you planted in the corners. And each corner stands by itself. And then he can simply repeat this throughout his garden. The Gemara asks, V'ha'ika debeini ubeini? Well, if he has other arugos next to this, are they not in effect intermingling along their edges? Now we have to point out before we go on in the Gemara that when the Gemara is asking this question, the Havamina is that after he planted the interior circle, measure with diameter 5, he then planted the corners, each one till with a different variety, till it ends up touching the next aruga. So the Gemara is asking, well, what about the Beini Ubeini, the point between each aruga? Are they not too close to one another? We take a look at the Rashi. Toward the lower part of the Rashi commentary, approximately 8 lines from the bottom, Vo'iko de Beini Ubeini, Hein Gevule Huaruga Shamanu Lamalo. This Beini Ubeini is a reference to the borders of each aruga, where we said above, we said earlier in the Gemara, aruga vov chutz migvulim. We said that each plot was 6 by 6 tfachim besides the borders. The oisan gvulim kishizreim, and as we said in the question, we're assuming that he's planting the borders as well. And is it not so then that when he's planting the borders, mechagrim es hekif ribua ha'arugos, then it is connecting with the surrounding border of the next aruga, v'have irbuv, sharei heim shel shnei minim. Each aruga border is being planted, in other words, the frame around the circle is being planted with one variety different from the frame around the next border. So is there not this problem of Beini Beini? So we have two answers. Number one, Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai in the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom, B'machriv Bein HaBeinayim. Very simply, he doesn't plant the borders. Borders are to remain fallow without any plants on them. Rav Ashi Omar, a second approach, Im hoyu zruin shti, zoron orev. Orev, zoron shti. Orev, shti and orev are a reference to, we'll say, perpendicular lines. So the Rashi explains, Im hoyu ribua harugos zruin shti, zorea bein habenayim, orev. That would mean if the square part of the aruga was planted, let's say, shti, let's say east-west, so the area of the Bein HaBeinayim, the border, would be planted north-south. So that since the direction of the plants are different, so they don't create the impression of intermingling. So let us just go over this last piece of Gemara again from the question, five lines from the Anavo Ika Debeni Ubeni. When planting the arugos with the circular interior, and then you fill in the corners creating the square, with each corner filling up the square with a different variety, the Gemara asks, well, isn't there a problem of the when you continue planting the area around it, the borders, you're going to have the plants in the filling up the square intermingling with a different variety that you planted along the gvul, the borders. So the Gemara's first answer is very simply, he doesn't plant the borders. He leaves them vacant or fallow. Rav Ashi's approach was, if the area filling up the square, namely the corners around the circle, were planted east-west, so he can fill in the borders with a different variety, they would simply be planted in a north-south fashion. So the principle is well understood that as long as some type of differentiation appears, even though things are basically close and touching one another, there's no kilayim problem. And one of the ways of creating this distinction is the different directions in which plants are planted. The Gemara continues, Eisvei Ravino the Ravashi. We have the following source, Avoidas Yerek B'Yerek Acher Shisha Tfochim. How much distance must be left between one type of vegetable and another? So it's shisha tvachim, but now the shisha tvachim, this is extremely terse, this source, and without Rashi it would be very hard to understand it. Rashi says the shisha tvachim l'chamisha zar'oinim kemo shishaninu. In other words, as long as you have plots that measure 6x6 tvachim, you can plant each plot with five different varieties, as we have already explained. The Royin Oysom Kitavla Mirubas. Here the Gemara continues at the top of Pei Vav Amin Aleph. And we view them as a square, a Mirubas, a square, a Tavla would be a plate or a tray, a plate, a table that is square. And what we have to extract from this source is what the Gemara infers, Kitavlo hu deshori, ha lav hachi aser. That only if you plant things in a square fashion, very likely a reference to the way we learned the Mishnah, where you have five different varieties formed by planting the sides and a fifth variety in the middle, that is acceptable. However, this circular suggestion that we have learned, that Rabbi Yochanan presented, that is not acceptable. You can't have plots planted like that. The Gemara responds, there is no kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Hasam, the case of that, the case of the source that required squareness, la'akuli bo kulo achrino. The goal there was to enable us to have another leniency. In other words, to add a leniency to the leniency, lahati rosh tur hayoytse hemeno, to allow a Rosh Tur, which we described earlier, this contact, this angular contact between two fields, in order to allow a Rosh Tur situation, there you would have to have the arugos planted in a square fashion. Let's glance at the Rashi at the top. Hosam deboy mirubas lachshuvas sodeh. There, in the Tanaic source, that we required a square plot planted in order for it to be considered a field. Ka'amar lahati rosh tur v'chule. To enable the rosh tur contact situation. The less lay the Rabbi Yochanan hold the Amar Liel. Rabbi Yochanan does not hold from that which we said before in the name of Shmuel. He said, Ein Rosh Tur Baruga. Actually, we said that in the name of Rav. No, so Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from that. And therefore, in order to allow a Rosh Tur situation with Arugos, so you'd have to have them planted in a square fashion. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.